You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Thank y'all again for being here. You're singing good. That's a good group. Dolores, that's great. He is alive. Yeah. If you have your Bible, turn to the 2 Timothy chapter 3. And if you don't have a Bible and would like to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you'll hold your hand, we'll have some people bring you a Bible. Okay. We got some here. I got Bible folks around. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is the last book that Paul ever wrote. As far as time was concerned, when books were written, this was the last book ever written. Now, it's not the last book in the Bible. The book of Revelation is. But this is the last book written. And Paul is in a Roman prison. This is his second hitch. He was in prison when he wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon. Paroled out of prison to a man by the name of Philemon, and then got sent back to prison. And as far as we know, that's where he died, in prison. The Bible didn't tell us that. We do know that he was ready to die in this second chapter, in the second book of Timothy. But I want to talk to you tonight about God's Bible, God's Word. If there's anything that I guess I owe my life to, it's people who have made me study the Bible. And most of them that made me study the Bible was folks I was arguing with. Yeah. I never learned anything from people that agreed with me all the time. When I first started going to prison in 1985, our class that they wanted me to take there was not the regular lecture, walk in and teach type of thing. It was more discussion groups. And they about beat me to death. The Big Spring Federal Prison at that time didn't even have fence around. It was white collar, nonviolent. Nearly everybody in there had a better education than I did. Well, everybody had a better education than I did. Some of them didn't have degrees. I'm one of those guys that got a diploma and missed the education. It just, you know. Anyhow, we got into some fantastic discussions. And this happened over 6 years. Almost 6 years. 5 years and 10 months. That I went every Friday night to the Big Spring Federal Prison. And I went every Friday night, but I came back from prison, and Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and I studied because I had to go back Friday night. And if you told them something, they wanted to know chapter and verse. They want to know how'd you get that. And we got into some unique discussions. Now, we never argued. We discussed very loudly and vehemently at times. We had every kind of denomination there was in there. And so, really, it was a special time for me. When I look back over it, I thank God that they... And it was during that time that I really got nailed down in my mind, in my heart, what God's Word was and what my Bible was. And so people that around us know, people that take our Bible courses that Loops offers, and most of them are in prison, know that I use one Bible. I don't use this Bible and that one. When I played ball, we used one rule book. We didn't use two. Didn't use three. When I used to gamble, we had one set of rules. Didn't have three sets of rules. I never wanted to get involved in anything that had more than one set of rules. And I feel the same way about the Bible. But Paul is finishing up his life. And he is writing in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to start here with... Let's see which verse I want to talk in. I'm going to start verse 14. Before this, he's telling Timothy how bad things are going to get. And what I am really proud of tonight, because I had the foresight to bring my Sunday school outline to the preaching service. So Paul says in this book to be instant in season, out of season, be ready. So we're going to get to see if I can do it tonight, okay? Because we might as well put this up. You talk about going to wing it. Now I'm going to do it. But he's telling Timothy that things are going to get worse. He's writing to a young man that was kind of, Paul had taken him under his wing to educate him and help him. And he said things are going to get worse. But in verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." If the Bible does nothing else, it'll do this. It gets you saved. And then he said, "All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine." That means that'll keep you saved. See? "For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, fully furnished unto all good works." Here's what he's saying basically. The Bible has four things that it's profitable for. And he said that from a child, he calls these the holy scriptures. He said all scripture. And by the way, let me say this. Scripture is writing. Scripture is not ideas. Scripture is not thoughts. You look up the word scripture, it is writing. All scripture, he said, is given. Didn't say it was given. Is given. That means if it is given, we still have it. It's not something that was given. Paul said all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is, not was or going to be, but is profitable. And then he lists four things. The first one is doctrine. Doctrine. Now, I run into people all the time, "Well, I don't want to get involved in doctrine. We just preach Jesus." Well, let me tell you something. If you preach Jesus of the Bible, you're involved in doctrine. Now, and let me just give you a proof text on that. Hold your finger here for a moment. Those of you who have your Bible, go with me to 2 John. And this is only one chapter. You go to the book of Revelation and work backward to Jude, 3 John, and then 2 John. And notice verse 9 of 2 John. Just one little chapter here, short thing. But he said, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." Doctrine is not teaching. I've read people say, "Well, doctrine just means teaching." No, doctrine is a belief that's arrived at by conviction. Teaching is two and two's four and the earth is round. That's teaching. That's not doctrine. Doctrine is something that we've... Doctrine, my doctrine is what I've gambled my future on. Jesus Christ, who will keep me, who saved me by His grace, who will keep me by His grace, who was virgin born, who was God in the flesh, all that's doctrine. He said, you need to get it right. Doctrine is getting it right. This is what the Bible's about. Not just, I believe, for every flower that grows, a raindrop falls, or something like that. That's not, didn't believe anything. That's not faith. And let me say this about faith. The Bible said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by Word of God. See, there's no power in faith. "Well, brother, you got to have faith." Faith is like swallowing. You can swallow all day long and starve to death. You better have something good to swallow. That's the way with faith. Everybody believes something. Everybody believes this, that, or something else. Well, I just really believe that a loving God wouldn't. Well, maybe we ought to look those verses up if they're there. I've had, you know, somebody said, well, the Bible said God helps him and helps himself. It doesn't either. Never has said that. In fact, the Bible teaches God helps him and can't help himself. See? We're always having somebody say, well, it says, what does the Scripture, it's doctrine. Find out what God's got to say about it. All Scripture is given to them by the inspiration of God. It comes straight from God. Moses wrote it down. Paul wrote it down. But God gave the words. He didn't say, I want you to write me a deal on salvation. He said, here's what I want you to write. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. These are the words. Well, are you telling me Moses and Paul were just stenographers? Yes, sir. That's what I'm saying. Because, see, if God didn't give it, Paul is lying. Let me tell you something else. You know what the psalmist said? Again, hold your finger there. Go with me to Psalms chapter 138. Notice what the psalmist said. You want to see how much importance God puts on His Word? Psalms 138. Look at the last half of verse 2. He said, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. This is how important God's word is. He said it's higher than his name. Let me tell you about his name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. That's how high that goes. But he said, my word goes higher than that. Thou hast magnified thy word above my name. So, all Scripture given to the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. How to get it right. Then he said for reproof. That's telling us what's wrong. And this is the one thing most of us don't like about the Word of God. Because we don't want people telling us what to do, and we sure don't want them telling us that what we're doing is wrong. And if you want to create problems, start talking about certain sins. It's kind of like the young man that went in to preach for the old preacher. And the old preacher said, now son, I know that you're kind of aggressive and all that. But he said, let me tell you something. I've been pastoring this church a long time. So he said, don't say anything about drinking whiskey. Because said, some of my deacons drink a little bit. None of them are drunks, but they have social drinks. So don't upset them. And the young man said, well, okay. And he said, by the way, don't say anything about smoking. He said, my folks smoke, and I don't want them upset. He said, okay. He said, don't say anything about adultery. Because I'm afraid that one of my ladies is having an affair with one of the deacons. Don't want to upset them. And as they sit in there and go down this list, finally this young man gets kind of frustrated. And he said, well, what can I talk about? The old preacher crashed his head. And he said, I tell you what, give it to the Jews. I don't think we got any of them here. See, it's all right to talk about what somebody else does. But we don't want to be talking about these things that we're involved in. Hey, wait a minute. I meant well. It's not all that bad. Sometimes I don't even know where to start. We got so many things fouled up in our culture anymore. We can just run up and down the gauntlet of things that we need to get rid of, things that we need to add. He said, profitable. He said, not only do we want to get it right, but in order to get it right, we're going to have to find out what's wrong. And that's what reproof is. He said, here, you go through Jesus Christ in the Mark chapter 13. Mark 7. Turn with me to Mark chapter 7, if you would, real quick. Notice what Jesus Christ says about man's heart. Now, this is man that's going to make the world a better place to live and is just trying to improve the culture, etc., etc. Notice verse 20, Mark 7:20, and he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man." Now listen, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts." That's number one. Number two is adulteries. See, there's never been an adultery that wasn't started with lust. There's never been a theft that wasn't started with covetousness. And there's never been a murder that didn't start with hate. It starts in the heart. And here, then he said number three, fornications, and then murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness. That's just lusting for any and everything, whether it be money or women or men. An evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things. There's 13 of them, if you want to count them. Notice where they come from. They didn't come from your neighbor. They didn't come from the other church. They didn't come from the wild bunch. They didn't come out of Clover House. They come out of our heart. Man's heart. Said, "Oh." And some of you women are so bad about it. You say, "Well, he's got a good heart." He doesn't either. Jesus said he's sorry as puke. And, "Well, but I'm going to change him." Uh-huh. Yeah, you are. We better move on then. Correction. Not only want to find out what's right and then discover what's wrong, but now then how are we going to get it right? That's how we correct things. Back when I flew all the time, you learned to set your radios and everything, and if you're going to a certain place, and then you set it on this VOR station, and you had a needle there, then, and you wanted to keep that needle centered, and that showed you were on course. But never could you just set it, and you got the plane trimmed out and everything, and it's flying good, and then you look down there in a minute, and that needle, and you have to make corrections. Because up there, the winds change, things change, and you constantly were making corrections, just like this. Never did you just get in the plane and fly a straight line. That never happened. You are always giving it this. It's the same thing in the Christian life. If you've been saved over 30 minutes, you've had some problems. And they weren't always caused by the devil. You get at them. See? Man, we got mad. We don't tell me what to do type of thing. We were covetous. We've done all these things. You've had a battle. Because when you got saved, if your name was Joe and you got saved, now we got two Joes. One's bad, one's good. And there's a conflict between the Joes. There's two Lelands. One's bad. One's good. And the Bible said, the Bible calls them the flesh and the spirit. The old man and the new man. It's kind of like Bob Jones Sr., the old man that started Bob Jones University, used to be an old Methodist circuit riding preacher. And he won an old Indian chief down in South Carolina to the Lord one time in his trips. And he came back about 3 months later and he was talking to the chief. And he said, "Chief," said, "how are you doing with your Christianity?" He said, "Big problem." He said, "What's the matter, chief?" He said, "Got bad dog, good dog. Fight all the time. He says, bad dog, good dog in heart. Fight all the time. He said, Chief, who wins? Chief thought about him and he said, whoever I say, sick them to. Now see, that's who wins in our life. Now, do we give in to it? And if we give in to it, then we say, well, hey, I'm not perfect. And that always just surprises me when you say that, because I thought you were, and now I'm depressed. Let me tell you what we are. We'll all admit to being imperfect. You know what we don't want to admit? Being filthy. And the psalmist said, we're filthy. Jesus said, he lists those 13 things that are problems. Correction. Getting it right. Always correcting day in, day out. When you got saved, if you've been saved, you're in a warfare. If you've never been saved, and if you think just trusting Christ is pie in the sky and everything's down here, downhill from here on, you got a big awakening coming. You say, well, you're going to run people off. Well, I'd rather be honest with you. Because Christianity is not for sissies. It's really not. He said, put on the whole armor of God. So, he said, all scripture is given by profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction. And then he said, instruction in righteousness, how to keep it right. Four things he wants us to do. He wants us to find out what's right. That's doctrine. He wants us, and in order to do that, we need to find out what's wrong. And that's reproof. And then we need to get it right. That's correction. And then instruction in righteousness. Keep it right. That's why this book is more important to a Christian than any other thing. God put in writing everything you and I need to know to enjoy life tonight. I'm telling you, I didn't say you'd have a good life. I mean, there's been people that's burned at the stake. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you, brother, if you just trust God, He'll put money in your pocket. No, He may take every dime you've got to see if you mean business. There's people who died at the stake. They were folks that have suffered. Tonight, in our world, people are getting killed because they trust Jesus Christ. There are nations in this world that we can't have our Bible out. We can't call the name of Christ. We cannot do that. They have to suffer for it. We're studying the book of Revelation in our Sunday school class. And we find, and as I study it, all of these things, all of the prayers of the saints, God has kept. And all of those that were martyred and beheaded for Jesus Christ, God's got control of. Now, I'm going to tell you this. In the culture you and I live in, life can be real good. We don't have the problems that a lot of people do. But that doesn't mean that you're exempt to cancer. 8 years ago, this month, I had a year to live. And God changed that. I'm glad God's in control and not doctors. But now God never promised me He's going to heal me. One guy come by my office. He said, I'll tell you what, I guarantee you God's going to heal you. And I said, if He don't, I'm going to kill you. I said, I'll come back and haunt you. But see, things can go wrong. Let me tell you the difference in a Christian. When Paul writes this about toward all scriptures given in the inspiration of God to Timothy, telling him it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, he's sitting in a Roman prison getting ready to die.
And do you think that he's upset? Look in chapter 4, verse 16. This is the last thing that Paul ever writes. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, notice this, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Notice, he didn't say that I'd get out of prison. He said God stood by me and is going to get me a parole. He said that they might hear the preaching. And from a prison cell, the entire Gentile world was evangelized through what he's given to Timothy and Titus and Philemon and those others around him. He kept doing it. So you can serve God in prison just like you can in the free world. Paul's doing it in a Roman prison. He's not down. He's not whining because nobody stood with him. Every now and then somebody says, well, you don't realize how people treated me. My family turned their back on me. Everybody turned their back on me. Jesus didn't. See? Notice what he said. He said, but God stood with me. Notwithstanding, God stood with me. That made Paul a majority, didn't it? Right then. Get your Bible. And don't come to me and say, well, Leland, I don't understand it. I'll tell you why you don't understand it. You're not reading it. You wouldn't understand the comic strip if you didn't read it. Hey, start reading your Bible. You'll be surprised. The psalmist said, thy word have I hidden in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. But before that, he said, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, therefore, according to thy word. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing even asunder the joints and the marrow and the soul and the spirit. All scripture. You won't have victory in your life. You won't be able to sing victory in Jesus. You find it in the word. I want you to bow your heads if you would. And a lot of these things that I've talked about tonight doesn't mean a lot to you for this reason. You're not God's child. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. But we found the very first thing he said the Bible was good for. It got Timothy saved as a little boy. His mama and his grandma taught him about Christ from the Holy Scripture, the Bible said. The Holy Scripture we've talked about tonight will do the same for you. So if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, that is the first and most important thing I want to talk to you about. You say, Leland, I'm not a Christian. I've never been saved. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around, you just be real honest with me and say, I've never trusted Christ. Pray for me. Would you just slip your hand up? God bless you. I see your hand. Anybody else? Real quick. I've never trusted Christ. I see your hand. Thank you. Anyone else? Very quickly. Very quickly. Someone else. Now here's what we're going to do. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want you to stand to your feet. And the invitation is going to be twofold. Number one, if you never trusted Christ, I want you to come tonight and trust Him. We'll have somebody that will walk you through that, can talk to you about that, will show you the Scriptures of how you can get to heaven, what God says about it, not what we say about it. Number two, some of you that are Christians are getting beat and defeated and whipped, and you don't understand it, and you're accusing God for it, when all you need to do is get back to the book. And you'd say, I'm going to make an effort to read my Bible every day. Leland, I'll make an effort to read it every day. And if you will, I want you to just come and kneel down here and make that promise to God. As Charles sings, will you come? God bless you. People are coming. Would you come? Come on. And I'm going to tell you, it takes some guts to step out.
We often fall.
Our heads still bowed and our eyes still closed. We're going to be dismissed. We still have some at the altar praying and talking. We don't want to interrupt them. But thank you for coming, for being here. The refreshments are open. If you need help, holler at me and I'll point out the folks that handle the rec room fund. If we can be of any help to you. For those of you looking for a job, I've been told by one of the parolees yesterday at the parole office at Cooper Construction was hiring and needing more people. So some of you guys may be interested in that. We're going to have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Thank you again for being here. Our Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ and for your word, and that you left us something we can hold in our hand, that we can hug at times when we need to, that we can pray over it and cry over it, and you put in writing everything we need to know. Thank you for that. Bless your people. Bless those that come tonight, those that come to be saved, those that come to just spend more time in your book. And Father, those that didn't make the decision they should, would you give them one more chance? Give them another chance to trust you. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.